What we also do is we do the yo-yo test with UEFA, so we do that twice a year, once in August and once in January. And that really needs you to be sharp and quick off the mark and turning well. And so I think we're all trying to make sure that we don't get slower, and probably sacrificing a wee bit of kind of stamina. I mean, I don't imagine I'd be able to go and run a 10K anymore. I think that would be a bit of a disaster. I'd probably probably finish myself at 5K. So I think that's the big difference, that pre-season and years gone by, you'd probably just go and run a 10K.
I did a little research about how much distance you cover during a game. Well, not specifically for you, but just referees in general. And it says about 5 to 8 miles in a 90-minute game. Is that, would you say that's about right for you?
Aye, well, I've got data in front of me here. So I wear a POA watch for heart monitor and also for distance. But POA's not brilliant for accurate distance. It's a wee bit short most of the time. So I've got an Apple Watch as well that I've started using.
Okay.
Just to try and get a wee bit, kind of better track of what the distance is.
Yeah.
And I did that game in Estonia there, and it was 11.7 kilometres or something like that.
That's
obviously quite a lot, and in actual fact, it really, really didn't feel like that. It's quite strange. You don't, because you're, I suppose many people, a lot of athletes are training and are going out and doing a discipline. So if you're training for a 400 metre run, you go and all you're concentrating on doing is running for 400 metres.
Yeah.
But refereeing is completely different for that, because you're obviously training to get yourself in top physical condition, but you've not really got a chance to think about fitness and actually what you're running is during the game. That's the last thing you think about. So you're doing all this training in the week leading up to it, and at no point during the game do you think to yourself, oh God, I've got another run to do, or that was a hard run. Or it's almost secondary. You just go into autopilot and you just run where you have to, because that's kind of the requirements of it. With UEFA, with the yo-yo test, we get to level 18, run 2, and if you don't reach 18.2, then you just don't get appointments. It's quite simple. There's no excuses. There's no anything. So it's quite straightforward.
So going more towards the mindset part of the training, is there anything specifically you do? Because obviously you need to stay pretty calm, don't you?
One of the things we did in the last couple of years is work with a sports psychologist based at Stirling University, who he used to come along to matches. He would listen to the communications during the game, and then he would go through some of the things that you would say during the match and try and help you understand how that can come across for like the assistant referees and the fourth official, and also how it affects your frame of mind. So even things like approaching the last 5 minutes of the game, rather than saying don't make a mistake now, which is a kind of negative and it might put some doubt into the minds of both the rest of your team and yourself, he would say be positive about it and say like keep up the good work, or just keep this going, we're doing well. So it's just wee things that probably actually does help when you're in that environment and you're putting yourself under enough pressure as it is. But honestly, really, the biggest thing is just learning from experiences. And the more times you're exposed to really difficult situations and matches, the easier it becomes to deal with it the next time.
Yeah.
But you never fail to be amazed with the times when you think that you're definitely in a place where you're ready for any game, and then you go and referee a game and you realise that you actually weren't ready for that. Well, you probably weren't ready for the step up, but it really does test you, and you need to learn all over again.
Yeah, I can imagine. So how much do you hear of like the crowd's reactions? Take much notice of the crowd?
I mean, it's the crowd's there. I like it. I see it as a positive. The bigger the game, the better. I think you're coming through, and when you're refereeing some of the kind of smaller teams and you've got like 200 and 300 people there, you can actually hear individual shouts, and that really annoys you because then you feel as if you kind of want to respond back to them. But when you get to the bigger crowds, and if you take the kind of last few games of the last season that I did there, where you've got like 50,000 at Ibrox for the Rangers and Celtic match, and a wee bit earlier in the season for the League Cup final with 50,000 as well, that you don't hear the individual shouts as much, and it's just a kind of general noise. And I use that to my advantage. I like that. I love the atmosphere. I love the environment. And it's the big matches that actually keep you going. And it's those that you look forward to. And there's almost a kind of a deflated feeling after it because you get such a high during the game. And just the adrenaline is pumping after the game. You can really feel quite low after it. And kind of struggle for the next couple of days because it's just been it's hard to explain.
I can imagine that. So how do you deal with the players when they try and challenge your decisions? Does it make you doubt yourself?
I suppose it depends on how well you know the player and how sure you are of the decision. I mean, there's certainly times in games where you make a decision, you're 50-50 and whether you've got it right, and you know immediately with the reaction of the players that you've got it wrong. You're left with two different scenarios there. You can either accept it and say, I think I've made a mistake, which is a wee bit easier when it's a relatively small decision. I mean, if you make a minor decision in the game, you get a throw-in wrong, it's quite easy to turn to one of the players and say, I know I've made a mistake, let's move on. But if it's a big decision in a game that you've given a penalty or you've sent somebody off, then you can't really do that. So, but again, it's what people experience in everyday life, isn't it? We just work and family and friends, you manage people. Every single one of the 22 players is a different personality, a different character. They react differently to you. And the challenge for us as referees is to try and quickly gauge how you can communicate with that player. And I know that there are players in certain teams that I can speak to in a certain way and they'll respond to that. And equally so, that I know that I can't possibly do that with others. So you remember them and they remember you, which is important as well. It becomes a wee bit more difficult in Europe because you've got the language barrier. They don't have as much English as you. But actually that can be a positive as well because it means there's less engagement and they're less likely to come and ask for explanations because you can't give them it and they won't understand it. So there's positives and minuses for that.
Well, that's interesting because you don't see that as someone who's just like viewing, you know, you don't even think of that aspect of when you're speaking to the players and you're familiar with them and you're obviously speaking to them in different ways for individual players, which is actually... That's pretty much how you would deal with in any work situation, isn't it? The different character types and you would speak to them in a different way. What about the pressure you get off the pitch? There's some things that get written saying that you made this decision and you shouldn't have made that decision. Do you ever read about that kind of stuff?
It's impossible to get away from it. I think some of the guys choose to isolate themselves as much as they can from it. And other guys will read every single column, inch, and Twitter, and every aspect of social media. And I think I'm probably a wee bit in between. I think it's important that you have a general idea of what the media are saying and what the reaction's been to a decision. For that reason, I don't think you can shut yourself off completely because you've got another match to go and referee the next week, and you need to know what the reaction's been and how you're going to be received at the next game. And so, I mean, it's difficult. Nobody likes being put under pressure. Nobody likes making mistakes. And I suppose that's the difference, but most people can make mistakes in their working life and it's really isolated to the people immediately around them. And it doesn't really go much further than that. But if we make a mistake, it's in the back page of the papers and everybody's wanting to send you text messages about it and social media in particular. I mean, obviously, we don't have our own social media accounts. I don't have a Twitter handle or a Facebook page or anything like that, so I don't get direct contact. But obviously, you're aware of some of the comments that have been made. And I have to say, me and a couple of the other guys I'm really closely with, kind of use that as a bit of banter against each other. So that kind of keeps you going as well because, I mean, you really have to laugh at some of the stuff that gets said. And if you make a decision against one team, you're a fan of the other team and then it will be completely reversed the next week. So, again, it's just experience. You really need to try and get used to that. And if you make an error, then you need to try and find a way to make sure that you don't make the same mistake again. So that's the kind of biggest thing you can take out of it, and don't shy away from it because we have huge rewards for being involved at this level of the game and getting to go to all these amazing stadiums and being in that environment. And unfortunately, some of the negatives that come along with you really need to try and put up with them as best you can, or, yeah. or it's going to fall apart completely and you won't be there anymore. Also, you really need to have a sense of perspective. I mean, it's hugely important, and I've dedicated my entire adult life to it, and I train every single day and I look forward to the matches, but it is only football. And there are other things that happen that are much, much more important than that. And I've got my family at home, obviously, and I've got two young kids, and that's much more important than football will ever be. And you just need to look at, I mean, world events and the world that we live in, and really try and get a perspective on it. And perspective is very, very easy 2 or 3 days after the event. It's not so easy when you're driving home for a game and you know you've made a huge error. Like I say, it is character, it is experience, because I used to be much worse, and it would really hang over me for a few days, and it'd be a bit of a nightmare to live with. But I think I'm getting better and better at that, and really, aside from the immediate disappointment of making a mistake, I'm really getting quite good at just kind of putting it to the back of my mind. And then you become kind of desperate to get back out and do another game so that you can perform well and you can start to forget about that. And time's a great healer in that respect. As the mistake becomes further and further into the past, then you really kind of forget about it completely. And you can move on quicker.
Yeah, so does that, because that sounds like quite an experience, you know, you're really change a lot of your character is, I guess, improving in that respect. So do you feel like at home it's your family life is different because of it?
I mean, I think so. I think you just got older and wiser, don't you? And I think it's like anything in life, every experience that comes along, you kind of self-analyse, and that's a big part of refereeing that helps you in everyday life, that you kind of look back and you think, well, that didn't go quite as well as it should have done. And you try to think about ways that you could make it better. I'm really quite good at looking at something and just saying, okay, I've made a mistake, and moving on, and try to kind of improve it. Some other guys and other people with different characters can sometimes look at things and convince themselves that it's right, and think, well, actually it looks okay, and it's maybe not as bad as I thought. But I really don't try and get myself caught up in that. I don't look at things 50 times and try and convince myself it was actually the right decision. I just look at it, I realise I've made a mistake, or I realise I've made the right decision, and I just move on and try and learn from it. So I mean, that can only benefit you in kind of family life and also in my work as well. So it really is having that sense of perspective, and it's something you try to get across to the younger guys that are coming through, that when you're coming up through and you've not been exposed to kind of television matches and media and things like that, you think you're a great referee because you've never seen your mistakes back and you've not really seen much video footage, and all of a sudden you get into the kind of bigger games and you get a couple of live games and it's totally different. And that's the one thing that you really try and impart into them, that you need to get that perspective and use your experiences to improve as quickly as you can.
Yeah. So before a big game like that, where the adrenaline's going and you're psyching yourself up, do you do any sort of visualization to help prepare yourself?
Aye, it's quite a strange thing to explain. A lot of the peak guys will get nervous about it, and I think they get nervous ahead of big games and things, and I don't really get nerves. I wouldn't call it nerves. It would be inaccurate to describe it like that. I get genuine excitement when I know there's a big game around the corner, and when I was appointed to the Rangers and Celtic match earlier in the season, or just at the tail end of the season there, it's a huge match and it's a completely different environment from anything else. And the build up to it is, I mean, the back pages and the front pages of the paper are dominated, and you can't escape that. And people that you've not spoke to for years are texting you and saying, I see you've got the game and good luck and things. But I really don't get nervous. I can remember being really excited about the game, and I just couldn't wait to get out there. And actually, the worst part of the whole day is the kind of 30 minutes before the game, where you need to go out and kind of do a wee bit of a warm-up and get your legs moving and things, and you're starting to take in the atmosphere and the crowd. But I don't really like that part of it. I just want to get out, blow the whistle and start the game.
God, I'm feeling a bit nervous thinking about it.
I know, it's like I say, it's strange, and my wife will say that to me as well, and some of my friends, how do you deal with it? But I really don't see it like that. I've done loads of different kind of sports in my life, and when I used to play football, God, I was a nervous wreck before I went onto the pitch, and I can remember being nervous during the game, and I didn't enjoy it. And other things like wee kind of bits of athletics here and there, and lining up for the start of the race and being like overcome with nerves, but it's completely different in refereeing. And I think sometimes you just kind of find something in life that you feel as if you're maybe supposed to do. And if it sounds a wee bit cheesy, but when I go onto the pitch, I just genuinely don't feel nerves. I don't feel any apprehension, because I know that I've trained so hard and I've worked so hard that I'm ready to kind of deal with whatever gets thrown at me. So I just love being out there. I love blowing the whistle, starting the game, and when you do that, it's just 22 players on a bit of grass, and it really doesn't matter where it is and how many people are there. It's the same set of circumstances, and I just use the crowd as a positive, and it really adds to the occasion. What's quite important for me as well, and one of the things that I spoke about with the psychologist, was that while I've got the mindset that I have, which is I'm quite a straightforward guy, you wouldn't really need to speak to me for more than 10 minutes to realise that I just kind of, if it's white, it's white, if it's black, it's black. But what he kind of said was that was maybe quite intimidating for some of the people, that some of the assistant referees, maybe they weren't kind of making the decisions that they could have been to help me during the game. So I think a big part of that has been, while I've got the mindset that I have and visualisation and the rest of it doesn't really work for me, I need to support them so that they have the best possible chance to help me during the game. So I've tried to get a wee bit better in how I communicate with them and make it as kind of easy going in an environment as I possibly can, and try and take away the nerves from them, because if they see me nervous and they see me worried about it and flatten a wee bit, then it's more difficult for them. So I've got a big part to play and make sure that the team performs well. So I think that's a huge part of it as well. On occasions, you've got the two assistant referees and the fourth official, and when we go into Europe, we've got additional assistants as well. So I've got a team of six people, and they're relying on me, because if I don't do well and get another game, then they don't come with me. But also I'm relying on them, because there'll be times where I really need them to help me. And in the Rangers-Celtic match, it was a prime example of that, where there was a huge decision to be made in the kind of 6 minute of the game, and I wasn't sure. And I had to ask for help, and they helped me, and we got it right. So if I don't create an environment where they can feel comfortable getting involved and be relaxed, then it just, the whole thing falls apart. So that's really, really important as well.
So the dynamic between all the other, everyone around the pitch, your whole team, is really important for the game.
It's massively important, and I set very, very high standards for myself in terms of training and preparation and just general communication during the game, and I hate when people fall below that, but I've had to learn different ways to express that disappointment, because I can't just give them a hard time. That doesn't work. And I need to realise that they don't have the same high standards as me. Some people don't. They still meet the requirements and things like that, but I'm really striving for as high a level as I possibly can, and that's just the nature of me, being competitive and wanting to do the best I can. So that's a big part of it as well, that you kind of hold, and it's the same with kind of personal training and things like that as well, that you've got really high standards for yourself, but the people that you're working with and you're trying to help, they don't have that. So you need to try and enable them to do as best they can without kind of intimidating them and putting them under too much pressure.
Exactly. No, that hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it. And you just try not to take things too personally if someone's not hitting the standard that you want them to hit. Because everyone's trying to do their best in their own way.
And people make mistakes. And I always say to the guys that I can accept mistakes, and everybody will make mistakes, but I can't accept a kind of lack of application. And if you make a mistake because you're not concentrating, or if there's a reason that you've made that mistake, you could have avoided it, then it's not really good enough. So as long as they give 100%, they're tuned in, then I don't really ask much more than that. As long as they're concentrated for two sets of 45 minutes, they can do whatever they like the rest of the day. Particularly in a European trip, we go away and we spend 3 days with each other. I really don't care what they do. They can do whatever they like the night before. They can have a drink the night after the game. Whatever they feel they need to do, as long as for 90 minutes they perform. And I think that I've probably got a bit of reputation that's the case now, and the guys feel a bit more relaxed with that, because it's quite straightforward. There's no kind of hiding what I'm looking for from them. So I think that's been important. But that's just comes with experience, because when you come through, you're just a young man as well, and you're still kind of growing, and but now I've got a lot of experience behind me, and the guys feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, how many games have you now done?
Oh God, there's a good question. I've refereed 102, I think, Premier League matches.
Oh wow.
And I've probably done about kind of high 90s in European matches as well. But I mean, if you counted up, I mean, I've been refereeing for 20 years. So even if you went 50 would be a kind of modest estimate. So I mean, you're talking about 1,000 matches, more than 1,000 matches as referee at various levels. So it's a long time.
And planning on keeping on going for quite a while then?
I'll do it as much as my body lets me, I suppose. I think we're training harder than we've done before. I know that probably less volume, but the actual intensity during the time that we train, you're putting a lot more pressure on your body. And I'm just trying to, I mean, I'm 35 now and as fit as I've ever been. Infinitely fitter than I was when I first got promoted to the kind of senior list back in, that would have been 2005, I mean, night and day. I'm faster than I've been, and so I just need to keep hoping that I can stay clear of injury, and I'll keep going as long as I can. There used to be an age limit of 45, that's kind of loosely still in place for Europe, but if you show that you can meet the fitness requirements, then you can keep going. But like, I don't know, 45 is a long time away, 10 years now, so I'll just keep taking it season by season, and I want to keep going as long as I can, because I love it. So yeah. I just, as I say, we'll see how the fitness holds up as I get older.